Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance being joined right now by Jim Callis from MLB Pipeline, talking about some minor league and draft stuff for our Houston Astros. Jim, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
We appreciate you being here. You know, we talked a lot about, well, you could tell us how much we lost in Emmanuel Valdez and Willier Abreu. And it's got to hurt a little bit if you're going to make some trades. And those guys, especially Valdez, could be really, really good. What did we pick up in Jaden Murray? I haven't heard anybody talking about this pickup for the Astros. What do we see in Jaden Murray?
Yeah, I'll say real quick, Valdez and Abreu, I mean, they're decent players, but those are depth guys. Those aren't, you know, they've had decent success in the upper levels of the minors, but they're not tooled up, all-around players. They're not, guys who you're projecting to be above-average hitters or above-average power. I really think with Valdez and Abreu, those are good depth players who are coming off your bench in the big leagues, unless you have a bad team. No offense to those guys, but like those guys, you aren't projecting as regulars. So, like, I don't think it was like terrible to give those guys up. And Jaden Murray is a nice sleeper. I like Jaden Murray a little bit better than both those guys. Mm. He's kind of flown under the radar. The Rays do a really nice job developing pitching. And I mean, he was a $3,000 senior sign in the 23rd round of the 2019 draft. That round doesn't even exist anymore. And in the trade where they got Trey Mancini, they also got Jaden Murray in the three team swap. But I mean, he's 92 to 97 with a good carry on the fastball. He's got a sweeping slider that's solid to plus pitch. He's got a fringy changeup that's a little too firm. And I think basically his ability to develop that will have a long way to determining whether he winds up being a starter or a multi-inning reliever. And he throws a ton of strikes. So I look at a guy who's got two solid to plus pitches and throws a ton of strikes. I think he's a pretty interesting sleeper. He's in Double A right now. I mean, he's not too far from the big leagues.
Do you have anyone in the Astros minor league system? I mean, we know about Hunter Brown, but are there a couple of pitchers that you would consider plus candidates in the very near future to hit the roster and surprise some people? Anyone that's popping
no.
that you didn't expect?
I mean, outside of Hunter Brown, not really. I mean, Hunter Brown's got a lot of upside, and then I think it's more depth-type arms, Peter Solomon, Sean Dubin, Jonathan Bermudez, Misael Tamarez, it's guys like that. But there aren't any like obvious guys you're looking at and saying, oh, that guy's a future starter, he's going to be in the rotation next year. I mean, the huge wild card, I mean, and it feels like we've been saying this for about 10 years, it's not quite that long, is Forrest Whitley's back and pitching again. And I mean, he's only pitched 13 innings. I think the stuff has looked decent. But I mean, if Forrest Whitley can stay healthy and throw strikes, and those are two big ifs given his career, Forrest Whitley's got pretty good stuff, but he's just gotten back on the mound now. And I'll be honest, I do our Astros prospect rankings. I have no idea what I'm supposed to do with that guy.
He pitched last night.
None of us know that.
He pitched last night. He went an inning and a third, 37 pitches to get through an inning and a third, maybe inning and two thirds. Struck out three, but at this point now, Forrest Whitley, if he does anything, it feels like found money. I mean, it's hard to even take him seriously as a top four or five Astros prospect in the future.
And yet he's always up near the top.
He's always up near the top because of the where he was drafted, and I'm sure because, Jim, because of the immense talent. But, my gosh, it's just hard to take that seriously after so many years.
Right. Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I mean, if he winds up doing something, it's a bonus. But, you know, I mean, like, you know, if you're looking for guys who could help, I mean, there's a guy who theoretically could be a starter. But, yeah, I mean, the Astros have done a really nice job. You know, it seems like every year they bring guys up that you get, you know, kind of surprise us. And so maybe I'll be wrong. But, like, they don't have a lot of upper echelon pitching prospects right now, you know, in their system. And, you know, obviously in the draft, I mean, you take the best player available. You can't just draft on need. But, I mean, they spent their first two picks in the draft on outfielders, too. So they didn't get a super high-profile pitcher out of the draft either. Well,
speaking of which, Gilbert made his debut in the FCL in a doubleheader. He was 3-for-6, his first at-bat, a home run. This guy's got star written all over him, Jim.
Yeah, he went from the SEC, now he's playing against high school kids, and he did well. How about that? He's a talented player. You know, it's funny. I mean, he plays – you guys will like him. He plays with his hair on fire. It's like he needs to settle it down a little bit. He got a little out of control. He got ejected in the Super Regionals, and then he made a, you know, over-aggressive on the bases when they were losing. But you know how intense Alex Bregman is? He's like that, except he's much more visual. Like, it's much more apparent. Like, so, yeah, I mean, he plays with his hair on fire, but he can really, really hit. I mean, the bat is his best tool. He needs to maybe settle the approach down a little bit because, like I said, he gets kind of, you know, like hyped up and trying to hit home runs, but he makes contact. He's going to be, I would think, at least a 15 to 20 home run guy. He's a solid plus runner who's aggressive on the bases, and he's got really good instincts in the outfield. And, I mean, shoot, I mean, I don't think he pitched this year, but in the past he's pitched a little bit at Tennessee. He's been, you know, up to 93, 94. I remember when he was coming out of high school, back in 2019, some of the scouts I talked to thought he had the second best stuff among all the high school pitchers in the upper Midwest, except, you know, Quinn Priester, who wound up being a first-round pick. I mean, he could spin a pretty good curveball, too, and he had some feel for a changeup. I mean, he's not going to be a two-way guy. He's going to be a center fielder who can hit. But, you know, he's just a really skilled player.
That's a big arm, though, to be out. That's nice. That's nice to know that he's got that kind of gun. What do you make of Jacob Melton? By all accounts, he was – everybody says that he was still around in the second round for the Astros was kind of amazing. And here they go back-to-back guys who could play center field.
Yeah, in the draft, I mean, this isn't the NFL. You know, you're not, you know, taking guys who you're going to plug right into your lineup. You got to take the best available player. And I thought Melton was a steal. This was a weird draft. I mean, just overall in that you had, I lost count. I think there were six or eight pitchers who would have been first-round picks, but they had Tommy John surgery, and some of them still went in the first round. But, like, the pitching class, especially on the college side, got decimated by injuries. And then you had, in the bottom half of the first round, the Astros didn't do this. I mean, the Astros took Gilbert where he belonged. But you had, I'd say more than half the teams in the 20s had, you know, surprise picks where they were either saving money to spend later or they liked the guy better than other people did. And it kind of discombobulated the whole end of the first round. And I think a lot of those teams had deals locked in the second round after saving some money. And Melton just kind of got caught on the outside. There was a, you know, I don't know if glut's the right word, but there were a bunch of college outfielders. There were like 6 to 8 that were going to go in the 20 to, you know, 50 range. And the, you know, what usually happens when you have a log jam like that is that one of them or two of them, because it happened to Brock Jones of Stanford also, who I think went with the pick right after Melton. But, like, you know, one or two of those guys kind of got squeezed out between that log jam of college outfielders and all these teams cutting deals. And, I mean, I do think the Astros, had the board broken a little different, might have considered Jacob Melton with the first pick, like if Drew Gilbert had been gone and, you know, depending on who else was there. But no, I mean, he can really hit. You know, it's funny. He started off his career in junior college, got hurt. You know, he moved to Oregon State, barely played during the pandemic, got hurt last year with a shoulder injury in 21, and came back this year's like first full season at the Division I level. He's Pac-12 Player of the Year, can really hit. He, you know, he's kind of a similar player, honestly, to Gilbert. Like he can hit. It's hit over power, but there's power there. He's a plus runner. He steals bases. He can play center. He's even got some arm strength to play right. I mean, he's kind of like a taller, calmer version of Drew Gilbert, I guess is the best way to put it, because Gilbert's 5'9 and Melton's 6'3. But that's just one where I think, and I don't know if you guys have talked to Chris Gross or anybody with the Astros, where I think you're just happy if you're the Astros. You just thank 29 other teams for, you know, leaving Jacob Melton available to you when you pick 64. It's, you know, it's kind of nice. The Astros actually got to pick in the first two rounds this year. So,
yeah.
They could add some players.
That was something different. That was a little different for the Astros. They actually picked all of our teams. The Rockets hadn't had any picks. The Texans didn't have any first-round picks. And the Astros didn't have any. We haven't seen a first-rounder here, and now all of a sudden we got all kinds of them, which is nice. Hey, Jim, man, we appreciate your time. Thanks for hanging with us, and hopefully we'll catch up again.
Yeah, that sounds good. I was going to throw in real quick. Andrew Taylor, the first pitcher they did take, he's an interesting guy. He's super lanky, but he's got one of those kind of flat, invisible fastballs that guys just don't see. So he might be a really deceptive pitcher. He might move pretty quickly. So keep an eye on Andrew Taylor, their supplemental second rounder out of Central Michigan.
Yeah, that's neat. That's great. That is great.
It's weird for the Astros to have first and second round picks.
That's right. It's crazy. It's nuts.
Yeah, we're happy to have them.
Something to actually talk about. That's great. Hey, Jim Callis, the MLB Pipeline, senior writer for MLB Pipeline right here on ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Thanks, Jim.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Take care.
All right. There's Jim Callis right here. All right. That is the underdog, Lance, with them getting actually a first-round pick.
Well, it's actually not. It's a process that happens every year where a team
I saw you on your underdog thing yesterday. And
you were like, what is that? How does that work? Like, it's a snake draft. But there's already one happening, right?
Right.
So I had to finish the snake draft.
So what, you wait till 11 other guys are ready, and then you start drafting?
Yeah, you can sign up right now. If you went to UnderdogFantasy.com, Best Ball Mania 3, that's what I was in. It's $25. You click that button, and then once 12 people are there, it fills up, and it's like 12-man pods, and so your team is your team. And I'm happy. Man, I hate drafting early. It's the worst. Getting a first pick is the worst in fantasy snakes. Right now, I think you want to be in the middle or even the back end of the first round, like seventh or eighth. That's what I did, and I got a team that I actually really, really liked. And that's what you can do, too. You can draft your team right now. It goes deep. Your roster goes deep. And whatever your best score is in Best Ball Mania 3, that's your highest score. Whoever your highest quarterback, highest running backs, receivers, tight ends, that's what your score is. You don't have to make starting lineups. You don't have to. There's no waiver wire. And that runs all the way through the end of the year. And there's $10 million in cash that is waiting to be won by you. You can win that money if you're skilled, if you do a good job of drafting, and it costs just $25 to enter. I've already entered into a couple of them. I'll probably enter into a total of five. I won a little bit last year as well. But here's the great thing. When you deposit, they'll match up to $100. You have to use promo code Lance, but they'll match up to $100. So let's say you put $200 in, then you're going to find $300 in your account. Use that $100 for four entries into the Best Ball Mania 3. It's at $25. You can get four in there with your chance at winning part of the $10 million in prizes from Best Ball Mania 3, only from UnderdogFantasy.com. Download on your platforms or your phone platforms, your app store, I should say. You can do it online. You can do it from the iPhone apps or the Google apps, or you can do it on your desktop. UnderdogFantasy.com, promo code Lance.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5. On ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.